The test of my vision is how I see other people. It's the number one way you know you're looking at life from God's viewpoint. How you see other people. The number one test of your maturity is not how much Bible you know. It is not how often you go to church. It is not whether you're in a small group. It is not whether you serve or tithe or pray. Or the number one test, acid test of your maturity, your vision, is your relationships.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we continue in our series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In it, Rick shows us from God's Word that when it comes to living with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, we should never lose hope. That's because God loves us and has great things planned for our lives. Stay with us. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book called God's Power to Change Your Life. This book by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for anyone who feels stuck and unable to make real and lasting change. You can text the word DAILY to 99000 while you listen to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called When You Can't See Your Way Clearly.
The key to understanding life is learning to see life from God's point of view, having a spiritual vision. And in Mark chapter 8, verse 22, it says this. They came to Bethsaida, which is a small village. And some people brought a blind man, and they begged Jesus to touch him. So Jesus took the blind man by the hand, and he led him outside the village. Now, Jesus is going to use this miracle to do two things. One, he's going to teach us three conditions for a miracle. When you need a miracle in your life, these are the three conditions. And second, he's going to teach us the three lessons about seeing with spiritual vision. First, let's look at these three conditions for a miracle. It says they came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Now, I want you to circle the word brought and begged. Brought and begged. Some people bring a blind man to Jesus. Notice Jesus doesn't go to him. They bring a blind man to Jesus. And here's the first point we learn. First condition for miracles, miracles happen when somebody cares. This guy didn't come on his own. He's blind. He had to be brought. And so he has friends who care for him. Caring friends bring hurting friends to Jesus. There's a word for this. It's called intercession. What is intercession? Intercession is when you bring somebody before Jesus on the behalf of them. You're not coming to Jesus for your own need. You're coming for somebody else's need. And when you pray for somebody else and pray for a miracle, I have a friend, I have a neighbor, I have a coworker, I have a relative. And Lord, they need help. They need financial help. They need emotional help. They need spiritual help. They need physical help. And you start praying, that's called intercession. It happens when caring people bring hurting friends to Jesus. This man who was blind would have never had his sight back, but he had some friends who cared. Who in your neighborhood needs a miracle? Who at work needs a miracle? Who of your relatives, who of your friends needs a miracle? Caring people bring their friends to Jesus. Miracles happen when somebody cares. Second thing, notice it says, they brought the blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Circle the phrase, touch him. Here's the second thing we learn about miracles. Miracles happen when we get close to Jesus. You know, obviously you can't be touched by Jesus unless you're close to Jesus. You can't be touched by him if you're far away. Now, what's the point of that? They brought him close enough that Jesus could touch him. Here's the key. Healing in your life does not come from religion. Healing in your life does not come from rituals. Healing, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, does not come from rules and regulations. Healing comes from a relationship with Christ.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
Healing in your life does not come from religion. Healing in your life does not come from rituals. Healing, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, does not come from rules and regulations. Healing comes from a relationship with Christ. You got to be close enough to get to know Him. It comes from a relationship. The more I get to know Christ, the more God's healing is able to be done in my life. And it's interesting that Jesus never in His entire ministry held a healing rally. Not once. Never did He pass out flyers and say, tonight at the stadium at the Sea of Galilee, for one night only, Jesus Christ. Everybody bring your friends. He never did miracles from a stage, never did miracles for an audience. He never did miracles to show off. In fact, this is going to surprise you. Every single healing Jesus did was an interruption. It was an unplanned interruption. Not once did He say, I'm going to go down to Jerusalem and heal a bunch of people. He was doing different things, and on His way, people of need would come to Him privately and personally, and He would deal with them privately and personally. Sometimes other people saw it, but He never did it for an audience. Does that make sense? Okay. He always did it personally, one-on-one, never to draw a crowd. Not once. Not once. Now, the third thing I want you to notice is miracles happen when somebody cares. Miracles happen when we get close to Jesus. And then the third phrase, it says, Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Circle the phrase, led him. The third thing we learn is that miracles happen when we trust Jesus to lead us. Now, if this guy hadn't let Jesus lead him outside the village, he would have never seen the miracle. But Jesus takes the blind man by the hand. See how personal this is? He takes Jesus, the man, by the hand, blind man, very personal, and leads him outside the village. Now, why did He do that? Because Jesus didn't want a crowd. He wasn't doing this to show off. He said, let's do this personally, okay? Let's just do this privately. So come with Me. And He takes the guy outside the village. Jesus is popular. He doesn't need any crowds. He doesn't need the adulation of other people. He just says, come with Me, and He takes him in a private one-on-one conversation. He heals the guy. He didn't need the attention. What He was doing was healing the guy and teaching his 12 disciples. Now imagine you're this blind man. Your friends have taken you to a guy you don't know about, and all of a sudden the guy says, here, come with Me. And he grabs your hand and He's leading you. Now, you're blind. So A, you don't know who it is. And B, you don't know where He's taking you. And C, you don't know how long the trip's going to take. Some of you feel that way right now. I have no idea what God's doing in my life. I have no idea where He's taking me. I have no idea how long it's going to take. Congratulations. You're getting ready for a miracle. Congratulations. This is called the walk of faith. When you can't see, but God can. You can't see where Jesus is taking. All you have to do is hang on. That's all you need to do. And you're blind and you need to trust Jesus. He's not going to walk over into a ditch. He's not going to take you into a lion's den. He knows where he's taking you. He loves you. He knows what you need better than you do. Now, this miracle is very unusual and it's very unique. First place, this miracle is unusual because in the way Jesus healed blind people, he never ever did it this way. So this way, there's no other miracle like this in the Bible where Jesus heals a blind person the way he did. And he had healed lots and lots and lots and lots of blind people. Many of them just said, be healed. And that was it. So it's a very unusual healing. Second, it's unique. This is the only time in the Bible where Jesus heals a guy in stages. In other words, gradually. Stage one, stage two, where it's a progressive miracle, where it's an incremental miracle. Now, obviously, Jesus could have healed him just like that, because he did it to everybody else. So it's not like this isn't working. This is for a purpose. Everything Jesus did, he had a purpose behind. He had an intentional reason behind it. And he's trying, remember, every miracle has a message. He's trying to teach the disciples something about spiritual vision. At the same time, he's healing this guy. So he's using a visual object lesson of this man. And so he does this miracle in stages. And it's rich with meaning. It's the only progressive miracle in the Bible. Now let's look at it. Mark 8:22. It's unusual and it's unique. First it says, then Jesus spit on the man's eyes. How many would say that's unusual? Yeah. If a guy's blind, I would not think spitting in his eye would be the way to heal him. Now we think, man, that is gross. But it's not only gross. If you've ever been to the Middle East, you know, spitting is incredibly offensive. If you spit on someone in the Middle East, it means you're dirt, man. You're dirt. This is not culturally, this is not an example of love. It's the exact opposite from what it appears to be. Because spitting meant you're less than a human being. I reject you. I revile you. Now, obviously, Jesus isn't doing that. So he's got a reason behind it. Why did Jesus spit in this guy's eye? I don't know. It's one of those, when I get to heaven, I got it on my list. Now, Lord, why did you do this? That did not seem cool. It did actually seem a little gross to me. Why? I don't know. I've read at least a dozen different scholars, and they've all got good ideas. I don't like them. I mean, one of my ideas I just came up with, I thought, you know what? The guy's blind, and if he's leading him along, now that means if he's blind, he can't see anything he's doing. So if Jesus goes, woo, you know, he's not going to see that. But if you're blind, you would certainly feel moisture. Okay, you'd certainly feel moisture. I don't really know. It doesn't even bother me. All I know is that he had a reason for it, and it was very unusual. So, and the only time he ever did it, healing a blind man. Then Jesus spit on the man's eyes, and he put his hands on him. And then he asked, do you see anything? Now the man looked up and said, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. In other words, I'm not totally blind anymore, but I just see shapes. It's kind of like, you probably noticed a few months ago, I got glasses. So I take them off, you guys look like a bunch of trees. Okay, you know, I see you out there, but I really can't make out your faces. Now, oh, you're quite good looking, actually. Okay, and so this guy's vision is blurred. Okay, and Jesus says, do you see anything? He says, well, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. Now, Jesus is not satisfied with partial vision here, okay? And so it says here, so Jesus put his hands on the man a second time. Only time Jesus ever did this. And then his eyes were opened fully, his sight was restored completely, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home saying, don't go back into town. Now, what do we learn from this? We learn three lessons about seeing with spiritual eyes. We learned three lessons about seeing life clearly. Your family, your husband, your wife, your job, your future, God, yourself. Three lessons. Would you write these down? Number one, my spiritual vision grows in stages. That's the first thing Jesus is modeling. It's not instantaneous, it's incremental. Spiritual vision grows in stages. It's gradual. It's progressive. As I said, you don't see everything clearly instantly in life. You see it incrementally. If I could, and if I did, was able to, I'd give you a pill that you could take, and all of a sudden, everything would make sense in your life. And you go, oh, now I know why that happened. Now I know why I have these problems. Now I know why I'm having this conflict. Now I know what you want to do in the future. God, I got it all. Thank you. 10-4. Good buddy. This is great. And I understand everything. But it doesn't happen that way. Spiritual vision, insight, wisdom grows over time in stages. It's incremental, it's progressive, and it is gradual. If you're growing spiritually. Now, if you've been growing spiritually, you see life a lot clearer than you did 10 years ago. If you don't see life any clearer than you did 10 years ago, you are not growing spiritually. As I said, Jesus wasn't satisfied with this guy having blurred vision. He says, do you see anything? And the man says, well, I see people, but they kind of look like trees walking around. So Jesus puts his hand on him a second time. Now here's the second truth we learn from this. The test of my vision is how I see other people. The test of spiritual vision is how I see others. My spiritual vision grows in stages, but the test of my vision is how I see other people. It's the number one way you know you're looking at life from God's viewpoint. How you see other people. The number one test of your maturity is not how much Bible you know. It is not how often you go to church. It is not whether you're in a small group. It is not whether you serve or tithe or pray or the number one test, acid test of your maturity, your vision is your relationships. How you see other people. Because it's all about love. So let me ask you some very pointed questions. Do you see your spouse the way God does? Do you see your spouse the way God does, or do you see him the way you do? How does God see your spouse? Valuable, acceptable, lovable, forgivable, deeply loved. Is that the way you see your spouse? How about other people around you? What do you see when you look at other people? When you're driving in to Saddleback and you're rushing for a parking spot, do you see people as rivals? Do you see them as irritations? Do you see them as burdens? The people you work with, do you see them as enemies? Do you see them as competition? The Bible says when Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. Are you there yet? Three lessons about seeing life clearly. Spiritual growth, spiritual vision happens in stages. The test of my vision is how I see others. And the third thing is that Jesus heals my sight three ways. You might write these down. There are three ways when Jesus touches you and he changes the way you see things. It changes three ways. Number one, my focus gets sharper. My focus gets sharper. The Bible says that when Jesus touched this man, his eyes were opened. That's not even that good of a translation. His eyes were opened. Literally, in the Greek, it means he fixed his focus. That's what it says in Greek. He fixed his focus. New American Standard says he looked intently, intentionally. Another translation says he looked with purpose. Another translation says he stared. The Amplified says he focused his attention in a very, you know, concentrated way, like a laser. What's happening here? What's Jesus pointing out? that when really you get touched by Jesus, your life gets focused. Now, if your life is out of focus right now, it means you're not being touched by Jesus. If you say, my life is really unfocused, and I got this going on, and 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 I'm distracted, and I got all kinds of different things, and I have no focus in my life, you need to be touched by Jesus. Because the first thing that happens when he touches you, your focus gets sharper. Your life becomes more focused the more you see life from God's viewpoint. Second thing that happens, my perspective gets larger. That's another way he heals my sight. My perspective gets larger. Notice it says his sight was restored completely. In other words, complete vision, full vision. And what happens when Christ really takes over your life? And not just, I believe in Jesus, I know about Jesus. When you let him take over your life, you are surrendered, you are submitted to his will. What happens? All of a sudden, I see the big picture. I see the big picture. And I have found in my own life that the closer I get to Christ, the more I see the big picture. Most people have about that much vision in life. They've got a little small parochial me, myself and I viewpoint. And they don't see the big picture. They don't get the big perspective. Why? Because they're not looking at life from God's viewpoint. How would you like to have God's perspective? He can stand above history and see the beginning and the end all at once. That's perspective. You can only get it from God.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. Now, we'd love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much. Now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I love reading letters that I get from you, and I want to just read one that made my day just recently. It said this, "Dear Pastor Rick and to all who make Daily Hope possible, I'm a college student in San Diego, and I just want to thank you for all you've done through Daily Hope and through your teaching. I've learned so much, and your broadcasts have truly strengthened my faith and my relationship to God. You're such an able channel of God's Word toward me exactly when I need it. In every broadcast, I feel like God's speaking directly to me." Yeah, do you ever feel like that? That's because God's Word applies to each of our hearts. And then he says, "Enclosed is my tax refund. I was thinking about buying some new running shoes, but mile for mile, I know you'll go further with it than I will. It's not much, but I know you and God can do great things with what I give. Thanks again for everything. God bless, Cameron." Wow, that's great, Cameron. God bless you. I'm super excited when people like you, young adults, are eager to learn God's Word and also to support God's kingdom work. Now, this young guy is giving his tax refund to support Daily Hope so we can continue to reach more people with the hope of Christ. That is faith. Cameron, I just want to say to you personally, I'm sure that God's going to richly bless you for your example to others, and because of your priorities and because of your generosity, and thank you so much. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word
for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please write him at rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.